story goes of a young pastor that was out doing a visitation program, and he went by a widow lady's house one day, and he was nervous. He was at his first pastorate, and he sat down on the couch, and he looked, and there sat a bowl of peanuts in front of him. And he was nervous. He had never been to this lady's house, so he's sitting there. And the next thing you know, he begins to eat the peanuts. And before he gets up to leave, he looks at her and says, "Well, Miss Brown, I'm so sorry. I have sat here and eaten every one of your peanuts." She looked at him and patted him on the hand, and she said, "Oh, preacher, that's all right. I done sucked the chocolate off of them." Moral of the story is, there's something in here for all of us tonight. If you've got your Bible, let's take and turn to the book of Amos. Amos chapter 8. You know, I found something very, very interesting about the book of Amos. Amos, he will take and he will tell you there in chapter 7 that he was no prophet, that he was not the son of a prophet, but that he was a herdsman and a gatherer of sycamore fruit. You'll find out that this book was written about 750 B.C., and the interesting thing that got me excited was where that he got to proclaim it. I found out that it was in the royal sanctuary at Bethel. I thought, wow, when the Lord began to deal with me, could that be any more fitting than for me to get to proclaim at Bethel the same message that Amos did some thousands of years ago? I told you this had been a trying week for me. Just before I got in the shower to get ready to come to church, my wife and I was praying. God began to stir and began to give me victory over some things that I needed victory over. I thought, well, glory to God. Then I got excited. I said, now I'm ready to go preach. Why? Because this victory that I have, God's not done. He wants to give you victory here tonight too. If you found your place in the book of Amos, chapter 8, we're going to look at verses 11 and 12, and I'm going to ask you, if you would, to please stand. The Bible in the book of Amos, chapter 8, verses 11 and 12 says this: "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. And they shall wander from sea to sea, and from the north even to the east, and they shall run to and fro, and seek the word of the Lord, and shall not find it." Our Father and our God, we just trust you, Lord. Quicken our minds, Lord. Use our lips to speak that which you would have spoke here tonight. Holy Spirit of God, we trust you to do the work. Lord, we just ask you to move amongst us, move among your people. And this we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. You know, I've done told you there a little bit about the history of Amos. The ministry of Amos only lasted a few days from what I can find out about it. But the more that I began to dig into what was going on during the time of Amos, well, I found out that there was people being dishonest. There was people that was being abusive, and there was just so much going on. People was being exploited and taken advantage of, to the point that it was a literal shame in society. And I thought, my God, does that not fit us today? The things that is going on in the world, is it not a shame? Some of the things that goes on to be considered a human, the way that people will treat other people, sometimes I have trouble believing it. I don't share this with a lot of people because it's disturbing. I stopped at a rest area just as you go across the Mississippi River. Pulled in, found out that just right right around the time before I had got there, a lady had taken a butcher knife and completely decapitated another human being in public. Children are being molested. Elderly people are being abused, and society is accepting it. Oh, well, God knows all about it. Yeah, but what are you and I doing about it? What are you and I doing about it? The characteristics of the book of Amos, that he was stern, he was bold, he was truthful, and what he took and he had to say, he done it out of pure love. He loved the people, and he wanted to see them get their lives in line with God. And folks, I'll tell you what, any man that loves you will want to see you get your life right with God. Any woman that loves you will want to see you get your life right with God. The Lord impressed upon me one time, you cannot love someone and never tell them of the love of Jesus Christ. So that's bold, that's stern, but it's true. Apart from the love of Jesus Christ, there is no love. There's people looking all over the place for love. People hungry for love. But until they come to know Jesus, they're never going to know the love that is in store for them. They're never going to find that satisfying love. I begin to read and study and pray over this. and this text is heartbreaking to me. Did you hear that? Behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing for the words of the Lord. Lord gave me this thought. Are we starving to death and don't even know it? You take and you look up what the word famine means, and it's a great hunger for. I'm afraid that there are pulpits across the country tonight that are allowing people to starve to death, and the people in the pews don't even. The Bible takes and speaks of people that will take and have itching ears, that they will not endure sound doctrine. They will not want to know the truth of God's word to where that it can be applied to their life. If you do not apply this word to your personal life, then why do you read it? Oh, it'll change you. Well, if you're not applying it, then how's it changing? You read it, you do it. This is not some dime store novel. This is not a comic book. This is not a fairy tale. This is the truth of God's Word. And I am here to tell you, as a living, breathing example, this precious book will change you. It will take and it will show you where you're messing up. And Christians, it applies to us changing just as well as the sinner. It will take, and the longer you walk, the deeper you walk with the Lord, the more things you'll find that the Word of God applies to you, probably more so than it does the sinner. Because where much is known, much is required. But yet we got Christians sitting on church pews starving to death and don't even know it. Spiritually hungry and have not even realized it. Paul took, and the last time I preached, I used this scripture. Galatians 5:7, Paul says, you did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? Folks, what is it that has gotten us distracted in our personal lives to where that we think that the Word of God does not apply to us? We take and we look around and we say, oh, brother, they need to line up. If I would line up, I probably wouldn't be judging them. To be right honest about it, I'd be praying for them. I wouldn't be taking it. I wouldn't be out here talking about people. I'd be on my knees in an altar somewhere praying for them. We worry about society and we talk about it rather than praying for it. And in our personal lives, we're hindered. We're starving to death spiritually and don't know it because we don't spend enough time getting fed from the Word of God. We've got churches that have got every type of program in the world running around, and they taken all it is programs. Programs. And programs are wonderful when they're a ministry. But a program that does not involve Jesus Christ is just a program. If churches would worry more about glorifying and exalting the one that died on an old rugged tree. He takes and Jesus told us, he said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. If we would get our hearts and our minds focused as individuals, then as churches, we would see people begin to live a life that lined up with the Word of God. But instead, we want to get them in every type of program, coming and going, pat them on the back and tell them how good they are. Not to mention what our nation has done. I don't politic from the pulpit. But folks, you can talk to anyone. Me and Brother Rick was talking before services. And we was talking about how that things are just a vicious circle. Isn't that the way sin is? Just a continual vicious circle? Why is it? My concern is that people are starving to death and don't even know it. Starvation. That's a terrible thing. Have you ever been hungry? I told y'all, I drove a truck for a living. And back years ago, before credit cards, I guess, really become popular in a lot of places, before they become standardized, we run a lot of cash money back then to buy diesel fuel and whatnot with. And the way things worked out, I was gone longer than the guy had given me expense money, so I had to get into my money to buy fuel to get home on. I stopped in South Carolina, and I opened my billfold up, and I counted out how much money I had. That's how much money I put in fuel in the truck to get home on. Not thinking, hey, buddy, you might get hungry in the next 5 hours. As I began to come up the road, sitting there, it hit me. Hey, I'd like to have a pack of crackers. I thought, well, I'll stop. You done spent all your money. By the time I crossed over into Rutherford, I was beginning to get hungry. My belly was growling. I had stomach pains. It wasn't long before I was up under the seats of that truck digging to go in there and buy me a quarter pack of crackers. A man go to getting hungry, he needs to realize it. And my concern is that people are spiritually hungry and have gotten accustomed to it. And that is pitiful. My concern is that we don't even realize we're starving to death. The condition that we see here, Jesus spoke of in Revelation chapter 3, writing to the Laodiceans. He said, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou were cold or hot. I wish you would either make up your mind. I wish you would be one or the other. You know the thing about something that's lukewarm, lukewarm water? You can't cook with it. And you can't drink it. This is some of the sweetest water. I agree with Brother Dana. I love this water. Why? Because it's cool. It's good drinking water. But you sure wouldn't want to take and try to make spaghetti out of it. It'd never get done. You can't take something lukewarm and try to cook with it. Christians, we are just surviving instead of thriving. Say, brother, the economy. I know the economy is tough. The economy is tough on everyone, but I know that God is still sitting on the throne, and I know the man that died on the cross is still seated at the right hand, where that he is making intercession for me personally, and he has not changed. And my life in Christ should not change because the money in my pocketbook changes, or my social status changes. My relationship with Christ does not have to change when the economy does. Too many times we allow circumstances in our life to control our relationship with Christ. Jesus took and he said in John 10:10, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and destroy. I am come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. How is it that some people can rejoice when they're going through the hardest thing that's imaginable? Because they know who's in control. They're not starving to death. They know the promises of God. They know when he says everything's going to be all right, that he means it's going to be all right. When he says that I will supply all of your needs according to my riches in glory, that he will supply all of their needs. Christians should be thriving, not merely surviving. I told you about me stopping and buying me a pack of quarter crackers to get home on. That's what a lot of Christians are doing. They're just taking little nibblings, just enough to get through. Well, I tell you what, I'm a big old boy, and when I got home, my wife had me something sitting on the table to eat. And I sat down and I ate till I got full. And I think it's time that Christians begin to open this book and get full. Quit nibbling on the Word of God and start living and thriving instead of merely surviving. When starving to death, we are uncommitted. Jesus took and he said in Matthew 6:24, no man can serve two masters, for he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Reason Christians are starving to death and don't know it, they're straddling the fence. They want to play both ends of the ball field. It don't work. Pick a team. So that's bold. That's stern. That's true. But I love you. And I want to see you live victoriously through Jesus Christ. You cannot continue to play around. You cannot flirt with the world and expect to live a victorious life through Jesus. Christians, I'm here to tell you, it don't work. You have to make your mind up. It's time that Christians begin to thrive and not merely try to survive. Anytime that we have to take and make a choice, whose desire comes into play? I've been going through some things in my life. I'm not ashamed to tell you. My wife and I, we've been praying about selling our house, selling land, selling parts of land. And I've been struggling with this within myself. What am I going to do with the money? Who am I going to, you know, what am I actually going to do with it? It's not even sold yet. But am I going to take and am I going to get myself in a mess because I decided that I want all this stuff? Or am I going to take and put everything that I decide to do through the filter of God's Word and see who's going to get the glory? Folks, we have to make decisions of who we're going to serve with everything, whether it's a nickel or whether it's a dollar. The lives that you and I live on a daily basis, we have to choose who we're going to serve. Are we going to serve ourselves? Are we going to be seeking to get our self-fame and fortune? Are we going to be seeking our own glory? Or are we going to want people to see Christ through us? Me and Brother Will was talking a while ago. Around my house, I've got a big deck. I'm going to measure it one of these days. I've got a pretty large house. Got about 3/4 of the way deck around it. Holy Spirit moves in. You can tell I'm not very animated. I don't move much. Holy Spirit moves in. I get out there on that deck. I'll go to preaching to the woods. I'll go to preaching to anybody. I got neighbors that can. I don't have much of a voice either, by the way. I don't talk very loud. I don't talk very much. That's a lie. God forgive me. I've got neighbors that can probably see me, and they will hear me out there preaching and just giving glory to God. They think I'm an idiot. But that's all right, because I know what I'm saying, whether they do or not. And if they'll listen long enough, maybe the Holy Spirit can use something I say. You know, you see somebody, I've got a pair of shoes. A friend of mine looked at them and laughed and told me that I had circus peanut candy shoes on. They're big orange foam shoes. About 7 or 8 o'clock in the morning, you get up and somebody running around with a pair of shorts and circus peanuts on their feet, hollering glory to God. You wonder what's going on, don't you? You know that he's got victory. You know that he just conquered something that he'd been struggling with. May have been up all night struggling with it. And finally God gave him victory over it. And what else does he do? He wants to give God the glory. To God be the glory. And folks, it's time that you and I quit spiritually starving to death. The cause of this starvation, 2 Timothy 3:5, Paul says that there's people that has got a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. How many of us have seen people sit in church and, brother, they're old, but you let trouble come, first thing they do, they go to trying to crawl under the pew instead of hitting this old altar. They forget to crack open that book, and they want to go to calling the doctors. Where's our godliness at? Folks, we're starving to death because we're playing church. We're playing. I'm afraid a lot of assemblies are meeting tonight and just going through the motions, because the man of God, number one, probably don't love. He's a hireling. And God help me if I ever proclaim the truth of this book for a dollar. If that's what this is about, if a paycheck is all that holds a man behind the pulpit, he's not a man of God. Folks, there's people sitting in churches starving to death and don't even know it, because they're playing church. They put on their best clothes. On Sunday morning, they go to trying to get the dust off their Bible. They go to changing the radio station. They find out that the preacher might come by. They go to running and grabbing magazines and movies and hiding them. Guess what? God doesn't know where you hide. God knows you hide in places. Oh, you better get that out of the cabinet. Cabinet door might come open. Preacher might see it. Hide it. Form of godliness, but deny power thereof is causing our churches to spiritually starve to death, and we don't even know it. Satan has snuck in a little bit at a time and stole our joy. He stole our commitment. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and destroy. People are starving to death and they don't even know it. There's a cure for this. We've heard it a lot. 2 Chronicles 7:14. The Bible says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. That famine will disappear. Say, well, that's Old Testament. What's New Testament say? Jesus said in Mark 12:30, he said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. And this is the first commandment. Then he goes on and he says, and the second is likened to it, to love your brother as yourself. Say, what's the cure for this spiritual starvation? Fall so in love with Jesus that you love him with every fiber of your being. Let him be the one you lay down secure in of a night, and the one you wake up hopeful in the morning. Let him be the one that gives you comfort in that cold, dark hour when nobody else is around. Love the Lord thy God with all of your heart. The Lord gave me a message one time out of the book of Daniel about the writing on the wall. And as I was studying that out, the Holy Spirit came and spoke to me, and he said, if I was to open your heart up, what would the walls of your heart say? Would they be sold out? Every area, every artery, every vein, every vessel of your heart be sold out to me? Those deep, dark, secret places, would they be mine? Or would you be trying to hide something in them? Folks, the cure for starvation is to take and fall in love